Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Viewers, this is the 11th episode of the 17th topic that we have been discussing earlier on. We have been discussing the chains of narration of the marfu narratives in the previous talks, and today, inshallah, we'll discuss the mawquf narratives. I have been indicating this earlier on that seven people or the seven sahaba narrate mawquf narratives as well on the Sabat al-Ahruf narrative. And I shall also discuss them one by one, and also then discuss the questions which have arisen on the chains of narration. First off is Umar ibn al-Khattab. You can see his narrative is being displayed before you. It says, قال عمر بن الخطاب من علم فليعلم ومن لم يعلم فيسأل العلماء ألا إن القرآن نزل من سبعة أبواب على سبعة أحرف. Abdu Khair reported from Umar, he who knows should teach, and he who does not know should ask scholars. Indeed, the Quran has been revealed from seven doors on seven ahruf. This is a narrative that the likes of which have been discussed earlier on, but this is a mawquf narrative. The chart or the schematic illustration of this narrative is being displayed before you. There's a person called Harun ibn Hatim. As you can see, his name is being indicated by a red arrow. We have the following jar on him. When Abu Hatim was asked about Harun ibn Hatim, he replied, "I seek God's peace." Abu Hatim further says that Abu Zura wrote from him. When he informed him of the reason of his reservation, he stopped narrating from him and abandoned his narrative. This is what Ibn Abi Hatim has recorded in his Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil. According to An-Nasai, he is Laysa Bishai. Ibn al-Jazari records Muqri Mashhur Za'afuhu. Although he is a person who has been, who is a very famous reciter, but people have impugned him and regard him to be weak as a narrator of hadith. In the opinion of Zahabi, Abu Labbas Ahmad ibn Muhammad al-Azhari is Wahin, as you can see that his name is also being indicated before you by a red arrow. He is Wahin, and Ibn Hibban regards him to be blameworthy. So this is as far as the first person is concerned, Umar ibn al-Khattab, who reports a mawquf narrative. Let us now move on to the second person, and he is Abdullah ibn Masood. And from Abdullah ibn Masood, there are various students who report this narrative. First up, we'll see Abu Wail Shaqiq ibn Salama. So his narrative, I'm going to read the text and the translation. أن شقيق بن عبد الله بن مسعود قال إن القرآن أنزل على سبعة أحرف ما منها حرف إلا لها ظاهر وباطن وإن علي بن أبي طالب عنده علم الظاهر والباطن. شقيق reported from Abdullah bin Masood, who said, indeed, the Quran has been revealed on seven ahruf. There is not a harf which does not have an inner aspect and an outer one, and that indeed Ali ibn Abi Talib had knowledge of this inner aspect and the outer one. Its chain of narration, viewers, is being displayed before you. The problem here is that, as you can see, the person who narrates from Abu Wail Shaqiq ibn Salama is Ubaidah. And in all probability, he is actually Ubaidah ibn Mu'attab, although it has not been explicitly stated who this Ubaidah is, but other corroborations tell us that he is actually Ubaidah ibn Mu'attab. And it may be noted that Ubaidah ibn Mu'attab is Matrukul Hadith. So he is an extreme person in this regard. And furthermore, viewers, you can see there is a person, Abu Malik Ghalib ibn Usman al-Hamadani. And his name is being indicated. He is just below Ubaidah. Now, no jar or ta'dil is available on his personality. So this is as far as his first student of Ibn Masud is concerned. He is Abu Wail Shaqiq ibn Salama. Next, we move on to Abidah ibn Amr al-Salmani. And his narrative is rather simple, and it says that an Abdullah qal nazal al-Quran ala sabati ahruf fa huwa qal ka qal a'jil asri tawbikh. So these are basically similar words which connote the imperative word to come. So this obviously would have been a narrative in which scholars would think that when the seven ahruf actually refer to seven synonyms, they are the ones who deduce from this narrative. As far as this narrative is concerned, you can see its chain of narration being displayed before you. I have not been able to find any jar or ta'dil on Ahmad ibn Musa ibn Ishaq. And you can see that his name is being displayed before you. Also, Abu Zakaria ibn Abi Ishaq, he's also being displayed before you. But I'm not being able to find out who he exactly, no jar or ta'dil is available on him. Or I have been unable to find any jar or ta'dil on him. And also, Abu Bakr ibn Abi is the person who is named such, and I have not been able to locate who Abu Bakr ibn Abi is, and in all probability, he is a person who has not been mentioned very clearly in most of the Rijal books. So this is as far as the as this narrative is concerned. The third student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to report is Muhammad ibn Sirin, and his narrative is also very similar. I'm not going to read it out. You can just see that it's very similar to the same interpretation, which says that similar words of the Quran can be substituted. And the example again here is given is as halumma aqbil and ta'al, all of them connote the imperative word or the imperative to come. Its schematic illustration is also being displayed before you. The problem here, viewers, is there is an inqita as Ibn Sirin, who died in 110 Hijra, could not have met Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, 33 Hijra, who was actually Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was born in 33 Hijra, and Ibn Sirin, Ibn Mas'ud died in 33 Hijra, and Ibn Sirin actually was born in 34 Hijra. So he was not even born when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud had died, and there is an obvious inqita which renders this narrative as unreliable. We next move on to the third person who reports this narrative, and he is Mu'az ibn Jabal. His narrative is also very, very similar to what we have already discussed earlier on. It says that Unzil al-Quran min sabati awwab ala sabati ahruf kulluha shafin kafin. So this narrative, as you can see, its chain of narration is also being displayed before you. Al-Mizzi records that An-Nasai regards Asbat ibn Nasr to be Laysa bil-Kawi. As you can see, that Asbat is his name is being indicated before you, and he is just below As-Suddi and just above Ali ibn Sabit. So Asbat ibn Nasr is a person who is Laysa bil-Kawi. Ibn Hajar says that he is Sadukun Kasirul Khata Yughribu. And he would actually, he's a person who is guilty of making a lot of mistakes, and he would narrate little known things. Ibn Abi Hatim records that he heard his father say that the latter heard Abu Nu'aym regarding Asbat to be weak, and say his father, Ahadihisuhu Amiyatun Saqtun. Saketun Makhluba al-Asnad. So Makhluba al-Asanid, actually. And when Harab ibn Ismail asked Ahmad ibn Hanbal about Asbat's narrative, he said that he did not know as if he was regarding him to be weak. So when he said he did not know, then it was as if he was regarding to be a person that he is someone very weak. Regarding Ismail ibn Abdul Rahman al-Suddi al-Kabir, he is the person who is just above Asbat, and he actually reports from Abd al-Khair. Yahya ibn Ma'in and Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi regard him to be Zayif. This is what Hafiz Mizzi has recorded. As-Sa'di says that he is a great liar and abuses the companions. Abu Zura says that he is Layyan. Abu Hatim says, Yuktabu hadithuhu wa la yuhtajju bihi. So this would actually render this narrative to be weak as well. Here is now, let us move on to the fourth person who narrates mawquf narratives, and he is Ali ibn Abi Talib. And his narrative is recorded thus, that An Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu annahu su'ila an qawli Rasulullah unzil al-Qur'an ula sabati ahruf kulluha shafin kafin qala sadaqu unzil al-Qur'an ula sabati ahruf wa aqsaru min zalika ala kalam al-Arab bi kulli shayin kana al-ma'na fihi wahidan fil Arabiya. فَإِذَا تَكَلَّمْتَ بِهِ كَانَ سَبَابًا فَقَدْ نَزَلَ عَلَى سَبَتِ أَحْرُفٍ وَعَلَى أَكْسَرْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَعَلَى أَكْسَرْ مِنْ بِزَعْتِهُ وَإِشْرِينَ حَرْفًا إِذَا كَانَ جَائِزًا فِي قَلَامِ الْعَرَبِ وَلَكِنَ الَّذِي كَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سَلَّمُ أُنزِلِ الْقُرْآنُ وَلَى سَبَتِ أَحْرُفٍ كُلُّهَا شَافٍ كَافٍ وَإِنَّمَا يَعْنِي بِهِ أَنَّ الْقُرْآنَ إِنَّمَا هُوَ Jidal wa amsal wa ahkam wa targhib wa tarhib wa amr wa nahi. So Al-Hassan reports that when Ali was asked about the Prophet's statement, the Quran has been revealed on seven Ahruf, each is enough and sufficient, he replied, they have said the truth. The Quran was revealed on seven Ahruf, and most of these are in accordance with the discourse of the Arabs, and reading on each Ahruf, on each harf will have the same meaning, though the words can be different. So if you read them, you will have done the right thing. It was indeed revealed on seven Ahruf and on even more than this. Now this is something of a difference in nature. So he's saying that it was revealed on seven Ahruf and even on more than this. Mostly it was about 20 Ahruf, as long as it is in accordance with the discourse of the Arabs. But the Messenger of God said, the Quran has been revealed on seven Ahruf, it is correct and sufficient. And by this he meant that the Quran consists of verses of argumentation and of parables and of injunctions and verses which urge and verses which warn and verses which command and verses which forbid. So viewers, this narrative, as far as the problem in this narrative is concerned, it has an incomplete chain of narration. As you can see, that it starts off with Rawiya an al-Hassan ibn Zakwan, that it has been narrated from al-Hassan ibn Zakwan, but it has an incomplete chain of narration. Moreover, Mizzi records the following jar on Hassan ibn Zakwan. As you can see, that his name is being indicated by an arrow. Yahya ibn Ma'in says that he is Zarif. Abu Hatim says that he is Zarif, Laysa bil Qawi. Al-Nasai says that he is Laysa bil Qawi. Al-Uqayli has recorded him in his Az-Zurafa and recorded the opinion of Ahmad ibn Hanbal about him thus, Ahadithuhu Bawatil. Ibn Hajar states about him, Sadukun Yukhti, Wakana Yudallisu. And it may not be noted that this narrative also has his Anana. So Ibn Hajar has said in his Taqrib al-Tahzib that he is a Mudallis, and the variant that we are discussing here today has his Anana. So therefore, this also renders this narrator to be weak. Viewers, we now move on to the fifth person who reports this these mawquf narratives, and he is Abdullah ibn Abbas. And there are two different variants from Abdullah ibn Abbas. This has been reported by Mughira and Ibrahim, and says, and Mughira and Ibrahim qal, Sami' ibn Abbas rajulan yaqul al-harful awwal. فقال ابن عباس ما الحرف الأول قال رجل يا ابن عباس إن عمر بن الخطاب بعث ابن مسعود معلما فحفظوا قراءته فغير عثمان القراءة فهو يدعوه الحرف الأول قال ابن عباس إن القرآن أنزل على سبعة أحرف وإن جبريل عليه السلام كان يعارض النبي عند كل رمضان وإنه عارضه في السنة التي كبز فيها مرتين وَإِنَّهُ الْآخِرَ الْحَرْفِ عَرَضَ عَلَيْهِ أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ تَنْزِيلٌ. So Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhi said, Ibn Abbas heard a person say, Al-Harfu al-Awwal. So Ibn Abbas asked him, what is Al-Harfu al-Awwal? He replied, O Ibn Abbas, Ibn Abdul Khattab, Umar ibn Khattab sent Ibn Masud to Kufa as a teacher of the Quran. So people memorized his reading. Then Usman changed this reading. They called it Al-Harfu al-Awwal. Ibn Abbas said, indeed, the Quran has been revealed on seven Ahruf. Gabriel presented the Quran before the Prophet every year. And the year he died, Gabriel presented it before him twice. And the last harf presented to him was Alif Lam Mim Tanzil. As you can see, this is a sort of a weird narrative. But as far as its own text is concerned, let's first ignore it and then see how it has been reported, because it's a mawquf narrative. This narrative, viewers, its chain of or scheme of illustration is being shown before you. There is an inqita present, and this the fact is that this inqita exists between Abdullah ibn Abbas and between Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhi. Ibn Abbas died in 54 Hijra, and Ibrahim al-Nakhi died in 196 Hijra. So, in order to have met Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ibrahim ibn Yazid should have to be above a century old, and much more than a century old, in fact. And this obviously is not the case, because he's not been regarded among the Mu'ammarin. This tells us that we cannot rely on this narrative. Its ascription towards Abdullah ibn Abbas is absolutely, it stands on frail grounds. Next, we move on to the second variant reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas, and it says, An ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu qal, Nazal al-Quran ala sabati ahruf, Sarat fi ajuz hawazin minha khams. It says the Quran was revealed on seven Ahruf. Five of them belong to the Ajuz of Hawazin. This chain of narration view is also being displayed before you. I have already presented the Jarh by Ibn Hajar on Muhammad ibn Sa'ib al-Kalbi, and therefore I'm not going to repeat it. And Kalbi is a person who has been regarded to be an extremely weak person by our Hadith and Rijal authorities. Earlier on in one of my talks, I have presented in detail the problems which have been indicated on his personality. The sixth Sahabi to report a Mawquf narrative is Suleiman ibn Surad. And I'm not going to read the narrative before you because it's very similar to some of the narratives which are marfu ones in this regard. But you can see its chain of narration being displayed before you. It is basically Abu Ishaq al-Sabri who narrates this report from Suleiman ibn Surad. And we know that Abu Ishaq al-Sabri is a known mudallis. He is a person who is a known mudallis, and therefore the variants and all the variants that I could collate here have his anana present, and therefore this renders this narrative to be weak as well. Finally, viewers, we come to Abu Bakra, who is the seventh and final person who records Mawquf narratives in this regard. So Abu Bakra's narrative is also similar to ones that we have read and discussed as far as the marfu ones are concerned, and it again refers to synonyms and it's like substituting similar words for similar ones. The text and the translation, I'm going to skip. You can just skim through it. We have discussed them earlier on. And as far as this chain of narration is concerned, you can see that it is being displayed before you. And the problem with this chain of narration is Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an. Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is an extremely unreliable person. The jar on him has been discussed earlier on, and I shall not dwell on it further here. But the problem, as I said, is that Ali ibn Zayd ibn Jud'an is a person that who cannot be relied upon. So, viewers, these are the seven narratives which basically report this Sabatu Ahruf version in their Mawquf form. We also have Maqtu narratives, viewers, and as you would recall, I had pointed out that there are nine Maqtu narratives, or in the other words, there are nine Tabi'un who also report this narrative. Muhammad ibn Sirin, Abu Khilaba, Amr ibn Dinar, Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-Amash, Yahya ibn Abi Ubaid, Usaid, Yahya ibn Abi Usaid, Abdurrahman ibn Abi Layla, Qatada, Abu Ubaida, and Salama ibn Abi Salama. But since these are Maqtu narratives, I am not going to dwell upon them in detail. The fact that they are Maqtu, the fact that they are reported by Tabi'un themselves, make them suspect in themselves, because they are actually narratives which do not have the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any of the Sahaba narrating directly. So you can look them up in my detailed research work if you want to take a look at the weakness in them, but I'm going to skip them as far as discussion here is concerned, because as I said, the nature of their, the way they have been reported is that they are Maqtu, and Maqtu narratives cannot be relied upon, especially when the Marfu ones and the Mawquf ones also have been discussed and have been found to be lacking in authenticity. Because now we come to another category of narrations which have been discussed in our initial talks, and which, as I said, were narratives which have been used to adduce the meaning of the Sabatu Ahruf narrative. And these narratives have been reported by three people, and they are Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, then Zayd ibn Arqam, and Abu Talha. From Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, we have actually three of his students, Abu Wail, Zir ibn Hubaysh, and An-Nazal reporting. And as far as Abu Wail's variant is concerned, it also has two further variants. So we are going to discuss these narratives, and as I said, that these basic narratives are also mawquf in nature. They have been reported by a Sahabi, and he is in this particular narrative, people think that the way a Sahabi is reporting this narrative, he is actually trying to explain the meaning of the Sabatu Ahruf narrative. So the first of these narratives is being displayed before you. It says, "An Abdullah qala qad samitu al qurra fa wajadtuhum mutaqaribin faqra'u kama 'allimtum." وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالتَّنَتُّ وَالِاخْتَلَافَ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَا كَقَوْلِ أَحَدِكُمْ هَلُمَّا وَتَعَالَ. Something very similar that we have discussed earlier on. Just for a recap, I'm just going to read the translation. It says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "I heard the reciters of the Quran I heard them reading similar to one another. So read the Quran the way you have been taught, and refrain from row and dispute in it. For this difference in their reading is like saying similar words like halumma and ta'ala. So this again something which is of the nature of the fact that narratives in which similar words have been discussed, or similar words are actually substituted for similar ones, they are the ones we can clearly see which are reported here. You can see its chart being displayed before you viewers, and it is a rather comprehensive chart that perhaps has been shortened as well. And the problem here is that it is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, from him the person who is reporting is Abu Wail, and from him it is Al-Amash. Now Al-Amash, according to Mizanul Itidal, he is a mudallis and does the least from weak narrators and would not name them. All variants contain his anana. According to the history of Yahya ibn Ma'in, his pupil Usman ibn Sayyid al-Darimi declares that Al-Amash is guilty of the worst form of the tadlis, and that is the tadlis of Taswiyah. Now, another variant in this regard, which is a similar one, I would also like to read it out before you. It says that An-Nabi Wa'il ibn Abdullah qala sami'tu rajulan yaqra'u hamim al-thalasin, yani al-ahqaf, faqara'a harfan wa qara'a rajulan akhar harfan. لم يقرأه صاحبه وقرأت أحرفا فلم يقرأها صاحبي فانطلقنا إلى النبي فأخبرناه فقال لا تختلفوا فإنما حلك من كان قبلكم باختلافهم ثم قال انظروا أقرأكم رجل فخذوا بقراءته. So Shaqiq reported from Abdullah ibn Masood, who said, I heard a person reading Surah Ahqaf. He was reading it on a harf. Another person was reading it on a different harf from the first. I had read many harf and never read these from my companion. So we went to the Prophet and heard him and informed him of these differences. So he replied, Do not differ. People before you were destroyed because of their differences. Then he said, find the best of reciters among you and adopt his reading, or adhere to his reading. So this is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and from him, the person who reports is Abu Wail, and from him is Asim ibn Bahdala. And the problem here, viewers, is the personality of Asim ibn Bahdala. And you can clearly see that Asim ibn Bahdala, as we have already indicated earlier on, is a person who is who has a weak memory, who has been impugned and criticized because he does not have a sound memory. So viewers, we now move on to the second student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who reports this narrative, and he is Zir ibn Hubaysh. Instances of differences in reading as reported in the Yabam narrative are recorded in various other narratives also, which are reported by Asim through Zir from Ibn Mas'ud. Now these variants say that these differences were taken to the Prophet, who was annoyed to hear about them and bade Muslims to stop differing with each other and read the way they have been taught. In some variants, it is reported that it was Ali who of his own had expressed his annoyance, and not the Prophet. While some other variants say that it was the Prophet had asked Ali to convey the annoyance of the Prophet to people. So this is some of a discrepancy. Now in the Musnad of Abu Ya'la and the Jami al-Bayan of Tabari, who is Tafsir, it is reported that this incident happened between two individuals not involving Ibn Mas'ud himself. It is not mentioned in reading which surah this difference took place. Now, in the Mujam al-Awsat of At-Tabarani, it is reported that this incident was about a Hamim surah and involved two individuals as well as Ibn Mas'ud. It is evident from a variant in the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, from another in Mujam al-Shuyukh of Saydawi, from another in Ma'ani al-Ahraf al-Sabah of Abu al-Fadl al-Razi, and from two others in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, that this Hamim surah was actually Surah Ahqaf. Now, some other variants in the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, on the other hand, show that this difference was regarding one particular verse of Surah Ahqaf. A variant of Jami al-Bayan of At-Tabari, again his tafsir, states that it was either the 35th verse or the 36th verse of the surah. A variant in At-Tamhid of Ibn Abdul Barr and two variants in the Musnad of Ash-Shashi say that it was the 30th verse of Surah Ahqaf. So this is another discrepancy. Another variant shows that the difference was in all the first 30 verses of Surah Ahqaf. So it was not just a particular verse, but all the first 30 verses of Surah Ahqaf had this difference, or this variation. Now, in a variant in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban and another in Mawarid al-Zam'an of al-Haythami, it is recorded that this incident took place between Ibn Mas'ud and a person about Surah Rahman. And this is something of anomaly because we know that previously we have been discussing Surah Ahqaf, but this variant particularly tells us, and this has been recorded by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih, that this difference took place between Surah Rahman. Now, in a variant in the Ash-Shari'ah of Ajurri, it is reported that the incident took place in which Ibn Mas'ud and a person, between Ibn Mas'ud and a person, and the surah is not mentioned. So, therefore, viewers, this is a problem as far as you can clearly see. And in all these variants, it is Asim ibn Najud who reports from Zir, who reports from Abdullah ibn Abbas, Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And as has been pointed out repeatedly earlier, Asim ibn Najud, who is obviously Asim ibn Bahdala, he is a person who cannot be relied upon because he has a very, very bad memory. Let's move on to the third person of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and he is An-Nazal ibn Sabra. And the narrative says, An-Nazal ibn Sabra an Abdullah annahu samia rajulun yaqra'u ayatan samia an-nabi khilafaha. فَأَخَسْتُ بِيَدِيهِ فَانْتَلَقْتُ بِهِ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ فَقَالَ قِلَاكُمَا مُحْسِنْ فَقْرَ أَكْبَرُ عِلْمِي قَالَ فَإِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ اِخْتَلَفُوا فَأُهْلِكُوا. Ibn Mas'ud said that he heard a person reading a verse which he had heard the Messenger of God reading it differently. So I took hold of his hand and I brought him to the Prophet. He then said, both of you are right. Read both of you the way you read. The narrator said, to the best of my knowledge, the Prophet had said, because those before you differed in it, so they were destroyed. So that's, therefore, this is something which has to be refrained from. And you can see, viewers, that its schematic illustration is being displayed before you. The problem here, viewers, is Abdul Malik ibn Maysara. As you can see, that his name is being indicated by an arrow. Abdul Malik ibn Maysura is Saduqun Sika in the opinion of Abu Hatim. However, all the rest have regarded him to be Sika. But according to Al-Jawahiri, he is Majhul, he is unknown. Al-Mizzi does not mention any Abdul Rahman ibn Ziyad among the teachers of Sa'id ibn Mansur. As you can see, one of the teachers of Sa'id ibn Mansur is Abdul Rahman ibn Ziyad, but he is not mentioned by Al-Mizzi. Nor does he mention among the students, mention him among the students of Shobab ibn al-Hajjaj. So as you can see that he is also a student of Shobab ibn al-Hajjaj, but he is not mentioned such although he is mentioned here as a student, but no Rijal authority corroborates this fact. Moreover, viewers, I have not been able to find any Jar or Ta'dil on Abdul Rahman ibn Ziyad. Now there is a person, Abdul Rahman ibn Ziyad ibn An'am, but in all probability he is someone else. And also this latter person is regarded to be Zaif by most authorities. So if by any chance that a person says that he is a person, he is a Zaid who is, or he is a Ziyad who is being implied here, then he has been regarded as a weak by most authorities. And this view, as you can see in the Al-Haythami's Majmu' al-Zawaid. I would also like to concede the fact that I have not been able to find any Jar or Ta'dil on Abdul Wahid ibn Ahmad. As you can see that his name is being also indicated, and on Ahmad ibn Abdullah al-Na'imi. So these are also people who, to the best of my knowledge, no Jar or Ta'dil is found on them. And therefore, viewers, I would also, in conclusion, abstain from this narrative as well because of the fact that it has been the way it has been reported. Now, you are the second person to report this such narratives is Zayd ibn Arqam. And it has been reported by At-Tabri in his Jami' al-Bayan, his tafsir, and its words are, and Zayd ibn Arqam qal, kunna ma'ahu fil masjid, fahaddasana sa'a, summa qal, ja'a rajulun ila Rasulullah sallam, faqal, aqra'ani Abdullah ibn Mas'ud surah, aqra'aniha Zaydun, wa aqra'aniha Ubay, faqtalafat kira'atuhum, fabiqira'ati ayyihim akhuzu. قال فسكت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال وعلي الى جنبه فقال علي ليقرا كل انسان كما علم كل حسن جميل. So Zayd al-Qusar reports, we were with Zayd ibn Arqam in the mosque. He spoke to us for a while, and then a person came to the Messenger of God and said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud taught me a surah, and Zayd ibn Ubayy also did so. The recital of all of them was different. All of them differed with one another. So on whose recital should I read the Quran? So he is posing this question that on whose recital should I read the Quran, whereas I found three very famous companions to be differing with each other in this regard. The Prophet kept quiet while Ali was standing by his side. Ali said, let each person read according to what he was taught, everything good and beautiful. So this is as far as this narrative is concerned. You can see that its chart is being displayed before you. Zayd ibn Arqam, from him, the person who narrates is Zayd al-Qusar. No information, unfortunately, is available on Zayd al-Qusar. He's actually not Zayd ibn Qusar, he's Zayd al-Qusar. Now, as far as Isa ibn Qirthas is concerned, you can see that his name is being displayed before you and being indicated by an arrow. Al-Mizzi says that according to Yahya ibn Ma'in, he's Za'if, Laysa Bishay, La Yahillu Li'ahadin An Yarvi Anhu. So it is not at all allowed for anyone to narrate from him. Al-Nasai says that he's Maktrukul Hadith, and Ad-Darqutni says that he is Za'if. Ibn Hajar says that he is Matruk. Ibn Hajar further records that As-Sadi says that he is Kazzab. And we know that it is about such people that our Muhaddisun and Rajal authorities say that they become Matrukul Hadith, that the reports that they narrate have to be discarded, and they become Matruk in this regard. And Abu Dawud says that he is Za'if. Yaqub ibn Sufyan says that he is La Yuzkaru Hadithuhu Wala Yuktabu Illa Lil Ma'arifa. Ibn Habban has mentioned him in his Al-Majruheen and commented that he is among those who narrate fabricated reports from trustworthy people. So again, this is the problem with him, that he fabricates reports from trustworthy people, and that La Yahillul Ihtijaj Bihi, it is the same thing which we have discussed earlier on. So as far as Isa ibn Qirthas is concerned, he is the person who actually renders this narrative to be absolutely unreliable. Viewers, we come to the third person in this regard, and he is actually Abu Talha. Now, the narrative says that Anabihi an Jaddihi Qal, actually it says Qara Rajulun inda Umar faghayyira alayhi. قال قرأت على رسول الله فلم يغير علي قال فاجتمعنا عند النبي قال فقرأ الرجل على النبي فقال له قد أحسنت قال فكان عمر وجد من ذلك فقال النبي يا عمر إن القرآن كله صواب ما لم يجعل عذاب مغفرة أو مغفرة عذاب. So Abu Talha, a person, the words are, Abu Talha said, a person read the Quran before Umar, but he disapproved him. At this he said, I read this out to the Messenger of God, and he did not disapprove me. So both of us went to the Prophet. So that person read out that portion to him. The Prophet then said to him, you have read it correctly. At this Umar was taken aback. So the Prophet said, read variously. The whole Quran is correct as long as you do not make a verse of torment into a verse of mercy, and a verse of mercy into a verse of torment. And as far as the chain of narration of this narrative is concerned, viewers, you can see that it is being displayed before you, Abu Talha's chain. In the above narrative, Ishaq ibn Abdullah seems to be an unknown person, as you can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. He is generally regarded to be the grandson of Abu Talha. However, as specified by Imam Bukhari under the account of Harb ibn Abi Harb, that it is said that this Ishaq is not the grandson of Abu Talha. And that, in fact, Abdus Samad ibn Abdul Waris, one of the narrators which are found in the chain of narration of this narrative, while relying on his memory, had erred in regarding Ishaq to be Abu Talha's son, Abu Talha's grandson. As you can see, viewers, Abdus Samad ibn Abdul Waris is there, and it is said that he actually erred and regarded Abu Talha Abu Talha's grandson. So, as far as Abdus Samad ibn Abdul Waris book is concerned, and he was reliable when he narrated from his book, it is said that the words are wa asluhu sahih. Now Bukhari goes on to mention under the account of Ishaq al-Ansari that the only thing written in the book of Abdul Samad ibn Abdul Waris was Ishaq. So the only word mentioned was Ishaq. He was instructed by some to add Ibn Abdullah ibn Talha to Ishaq. So he was actually, talqeen was given to him that he should add these words. The only word written was Ishaq, but the rest, Ishaq ibn Abdullah ibn Abi Talha was added actually. So viewers, this is actually the jar on this narrative, and I, in my opinion, going through it, my own personal take on this is that this also cannot be regarded as any narrative or any reliable narrative which reports an interpretation or which can be used as a narrative to adduce an interpretation of the seven hour of narrative. So these are the three narratives from these three companions which I have just recited and discussed before you. And I would now like to end my talk here. Inshallah, some of the few remaining points which remain on the Sabatu Ahruf report shall be taken up later on. Till then, أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.